You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Papers left to read. What's to do about it? Let's put out the lights and go to sleep.
Snoring is easy to laugh at, but not for the snorer. Being the butt of all the jokes, getting elbows in the ribs, keeping everyone awake.
I'm not permitted to go to bed early because that can cause problems for my wife. She can't get to sleep with my snoring, and it is very loud.
Let's turn out the lights and go to sleep.
Well, the first time I noticed it was he went lying asleep on the couch at home in the evening time. I'd sit looking at television. Ray would suddenly, you'd hear this awful, unmerciful, loud snore. I turned around once and I said to him, "My God," I said, "you're snoring." I said, "it's very loud." So he went, "Okay." And then 5 minutes later, he was gone asleep again and the snoring again.
If my mum and dad come over for dinner, so we'd have dinner, and everyone is tired after dinner anyway, so we'd come in and sit down. And within about 2 minutes, he'd just be snoring, and you wouldn't be able to hear the telly because of the snoring. So, and there was no, you know, he'd wake up and yeah, and then 2 seconds later asleep, and that's it.
And at night time then, one night in bed, I think in the early morning, I woke up and I thought, he's very quiet. And I was lying there for about 30 seconds, and then this loud snoring again, it stopped. He stopped breathing again. Now I know he stopped breathing again. And he started snoring again. So I thought to myself, this sounds, you know, a bit peculiar that he's actually not breathing and then he's snoring.
So I looked it up on the internet and I got loads of websites and I sent them on to him and then hounded him to go to the doctor for months.
For 54-year-old Ray, his snoring is no joke. He doesn't realise that his life is at risk, but his wife Patty and daughter Karina do.
I wasn't aware that I had a problem, or I wasn't even aware of what sleep apnea was. Karina was concerned, and it was only just after talking to her that I started to look it up. I would say I've been displaying these symptoms now for a good few years. I snored, but I thought everybody snored. I'm overweight, but though recently I've been taking some efforts now to reduce that weight, and it's coming down a little bit. I dozed off on the couch, particularly after a meal. I find that I doze on the bus on the way in the morning, and I have to fight sleep at meetings particularly. It can be very embarrassing at a meeting, at least ways I think that people might be looking at me as I'm trying to stay awake. And it can be a fight to stay awake. And as a result of that, then, I think my work is could suffer. I can't concentrate properly at meetings. And I also found that my levels of concentration aren't as high as they used to be. And I didn't notice this until I started looking at the website dealing with sleep apnea and looking up some information on it. And I found that I matched all the criteria that it was setting out, that I had poor concentration, I couldn't continue in dealing with the job from start to finish, short-term memory loss. Sometimes I wouldn't even remember what I had started to try to do, and I wouldn't be able to concentrate enough to finish it. And it kind of left me feeling a little bit bewildered, but not knowing what exactly was the problem, or indeed that there was a problem. I just thought that it was just age creeping up on me and that everybody went like that.
February 2010. Ray arrives at the sleep apnea unit in St. Joseph's Hospital in Raheny, Dublin. For the next 2 nights, his every sleeping moment will be monitored.
Raymond, how are you? Are you called Ray or Raymond?
Ray.
Louise is my name. I'm one of the staff nurses.
Pleased to meet you, Louise.
And I'm just going to go through a few bits with you, and then I'll hand you over to Thomas, the technician. Now, have you ever been here before?
No.
First time in this hospital?
This is the first time, yes.
All right. Okay. And you're going to have sleep apnea studies today.
Yeah, that's right.
What brought you about to go and have a consultation with doctor? What way were you presenting with symptoms?
Professor Richard Costello sees hundreds of patients every year with one common problem.
Sleep apnea is a condition where intermittently people stop breathing during the night, mostly because the throat muscles all close together at the point when you're breathing in. There's a continuum, starts off with snoring, which is just a very short closure of the throat muscles. They just bang against each other and then they open up. And then that kind of gradually progresses into a condition where the throat muscles, when you're breathing in, stick. And that means that air doesn't get down into the lungs. And so with no air going down into the lungs, your brain quickly gets a message saying there's a problem here. And so you don't quite wake up, but your brain gets stimulated and aroused. And that means that it doesn't get a good thorough rest at night. So you wake up feeling unrefreshed. So sleep apnea is a whole group of symptoms. It's snoring, it's stopping breathing, and it's being tired in the daytime.
I've only missed my stop twice. I seem to have some kind of inner alarm system that wakes me up just before I get to my bus stop. But so it's only twice now that it's happened that I've actually nodded off while I've gone past my bus stop. But usually it can be a struggle to stay awake on the bus. I can't read on the bus. I've tried Sudoku to try and keep concentration going. And I don't know how many times I've woken up picking the book up off the floor or the pencil up off the floor or something like that. And that can be embarrassing because it's the actual fall of the book that makes the clatter on the floor that wakes me up. And if people are watching, you know, that can be embarrassing.
You'd be in the middle of a conversation with him and he's gone. And you sit there going, hello? Was I just talking to you?
No, there was one embarrassing one where my prospective son-in-law, we were having a conversation, and after I asked a question, I fell asleep before he could answer, or at least I was dozing off before he could answer. I hope he'll forgive me, but I couldn't help it. There was nothing I could do about it.
He actually bent over a couch one night over Christmas and turned to switch off the plug, you know, in the socket, and he was up on one leg on the couch, bending over to Claude, and he was asleep.
Yeah, I forgot about that, actually. That's a funny place to fall asleep.
It's like as if the system just shuts down and I have to go to sleep. I have no control over it at all. I know that it's coming, but there's nothing that I can do about it. I can't stay awake for the life of me. I can't prompt myself to stay awake any longer than the system is telling me. And I can nod off just for a split second is all it might take, and then be awake again. But that's enough to do it, to lose concentration and have that lapse. And I'd be extremely concerned if that happened if I were driving. That would really frighten me.
Were you waiting long for the appointment?
No, I wasn't. No.
Right. Okay. So, do you know what Thomas is going to a plan for you? Do you know?
I don't know it in detail yet.
Okay. I'll just tell you briefly what and Thomas will give you much. He's actually the sleep apnea technician, so he will come in and give you full explanation. But I'll just let you know. Basically, what he's going to do is do a limited sleep study. That's what it's called, and it will basically monitor. It'll be a probe and a fitting that will be applied over your face, and it will monitor the level of oxygen that's in your blood while you sleep. So obviously, if you're having these apnea episodes, you know, where you stop breathing for 30 seconds, 40 seconds or however long it is, and then you wake up and you're gasping, the level of oxygen will fall significantly in your blood
yeah.
while you're being, and that this is what the test is to show.
Right.
Yeah. And either confirm that you have sleep apnea or you don't.
Okay.
And depending on the results then, further treatment may be warranted. So that's basically how it's going to work.
All right. Yeah.
It's non-invasive. It's, you won't, no needles, no, you know, it's comfortable. You know, all you right, sleep yeah. tonight and you'll probably be oblivious. Do you sleep well?
I think I do.
You think you do?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Up until I was told about this, I thought I did, but yeah. I mustn't do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's affecting, you're yeah. probably tired then the next morning
yeah.
if
yeah.
you're not getting good quality sleep.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah.
You're not waking up feeling refreshed after
no,
a night's sleep.
No.
Okay. All right. Anything you want to ask me or you're not sure of? Or
no, the only thing I have to ask is, how long is the bed?
Oh, I think the beds, do you know, I am not 100% sure, but I think they are about 7 foot long. You're,
that'll do
now
me.
We can
yeah.
take the bottom off it.
Yeah.
If you would like me to take the bottom off,
yeah, we
I
might.
Will.
Yeah, we might have to do
yeah,
something
how,
like
how
that.
How tall are you?
I'm 6'3".
6'3".
Yeah.
Well, I can take the end off the bed.
Yeah.
That's
all right,
no
yeah.
issue.
Dream when you're feeling blue.
At this stage, Ray doesn't know what the outcome of the sleep study will be. But what are his first impressions arriving at the clinic?
I didn't know what I thought it would look like. What I thought it would look like. It's a room that's about what, 5 foot wide by about 12 foot long, I think. And there's a fairly high ceiling in it, and there's wooden panel walls, and there's a little wardrobe. Oh, there's a television set, and there's a good view out the window. And it's a typical hospital bed. Hopefully those pillows are soft. I was reminded that I could have brought my own pillow, and I've never thought of it at all.
So dream when the day is through.
Thomas, the sleep technician, arrives to prepare for tonight's sleep study.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, fair enough. That's the chart. Right. I'm just going to get you to do a quick questionnaire. It's just
yeah.
based on your daytime sleepiness.
All right. Yeah.
All right. So you're going to be. So I'm going to ask you a few. Or I'm going to give you a few different situations.
Yeah.
Right? And you're going to give it a rating from 0 to 3 in terms of your chances of falling asleep in that situation.
All right. Yeah.
So, for example, if you were sitting and reading, what would your chances of dozing be?
Oh, it would be,
never, yeah. slight, moderate or high chance.
It would be a high chance.
High chance, that's
yeah.
right. Okay, next one. If you are watching TV.
Yes, I'll definitely fall asleep.
So a high chance.
High chance,
you say?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, grand. If you were sitting and active in a public place, for example, in the theatre or in a meeting.
Yes, definitely.
Definitely.
Yeah, high
again,
chance.
High chance again.
Yeah.
Grand. If you were a passenger in a car for an hour without a break.
I would definitely fall
definitely.
Asleep.
Okay. If you were lying down to rest in the afternoon when circumstances permit.
Or even not lying down, there's a high chance.
Seriously?
Yes.
All right, okay. if you were sitting and talking to someone.
I've been known to do that.
You've been known to. So
yes,
probably not a high chance, but.
Probably not a high chance,
yeah.
but there's a good chance. What's it?
So say moderate,
moderate chance, yeah.
So you'd have a moderate chance of falling asleep. Grant. If you were sitting quietly after a lunch without alcohol.
Yes, there's a high chance.
High chance.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And last one. If you were in a car while stopped for a few minutes in traffic.
Yes. There's
high
a,
chance.
There's a moderate,
moderate
chance.
Chance
yes.
Moderate chance, that's great. Perfect. That's you.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Grant.
They have everything. They have everything I do. I was just thinking about the public place. Even sitting down with the shopping trolley outside Dunn's. I've fallen asleep as well, so it's something that I'd like to get sorted out. I didn't realise that there was something that could be done about it, and I'm kind of looking forward to it, being able to lead a normal life. I hope again, you know, that I don't fall asleep at the least opportunity.
Soon you'll find candy dreams and such on your mind.
if you eat too much. I want mine. Go to sleep, my sleepy head.
So one of the commonest problems that people with sleep apnea have is road traffic accidents or near misses in road traffic when they're driving on a, say, on a busy congested evening and the heater is on in the car and they tend to nod off at the lights or they lose concentration and cross the midline of the road. Sadly, quite a lot of the people who have sleep apnea and have vehicle accidents never wake up because they're killed in the road traffic accidents. And there's very good evidence that quite a number of people who have road traffic accidents, fatal road traffic accidents, fell asleep at the wheel from sleep apnea.
And my soul to keep, time for bed, go to sleep my sleepy head.
Okay, I'm just going to get you set up for the sleep study.
Okay.
All right. Now, your sleep study, it's fairly simple. Because the way it'll work is I'll get you to put everything on yourself tonight when you're going to bed.
All right.
And if you do need a hand later on, just buzz one of my nurses, they can come in and help you with it. Now, this is a monitor here, so this is just going to be placed on your chest. So what you do here is, this in the centre of your chest, this will obviously go over like your pyjama top or your t-shirt. Or whatever.
Goes over it, yeah?
Yeah, just over the top. And you put your arm through the gap there.
Yeah.
That comes over your shoulder and you just bring it right round your back.
In a few hours' time, Ray will be tucked up in bed with his soft pillow, crisp sheets, and equipment that will record his every move.
Yeah.
That's not too tight, is it?
No, that feels okay. Yeah.
It does have to be fairly tight, because this one's going to kind of monitor your chest movement as you're kind of sleeping. All right.
The typical patient with sleep apnea is that there isn't a typical patient. The textbooks might say that the typical sleep apnea patient is a middle-aged man who's put on a bit of weight, whose collar size has gone over 17, and he himself feels that he's got a bit sluggish and his wife is certainly complaining about snoring. That would be probably the textbook typical, but I have never ceased to be amazed at the variations.
The Irish Sleep Apnea Trust estimate that up to 100,000 people in Ireland could have sleep apnea, yet only around 10,000 people have been diagnosed.
I can think of lots of areas where people would be very interested and frankly quite frightened to know that people have sleep apnea. I've known several drivers of trains to have had sleep apnea, quite high levels of sleep apnea. I've known several commercial drivers to have sleep apnea. In fact, the worst case of sleep apnea that I ever saw was in a man who drove a lorry on the M1 from Belfast to Dublin every day, and he stopped breathing 120 times an hour, which is an extraordinarily high level of sleep apnea. I've seen it in air traffic controllers and in other commercial drivers, taxi drivers, etc. So that's people who themselves are suffering but also are putting others at risk by having their sleep apnea. Not deliberately, most definitely not deliberately. And in fact, they were the ones who were identified and came to see us and we were able to sort them out. It's the folks who don't know about it that you'd be more worried about. So there's a huge range of people. And one thing that I certainly never ceases to amaze me at my clinic, the differences in the ranges of shapes and sizes and age of the people who have sleep apnea. And if you box people into believing that one, you know, the typical case is, like I said, the middle-aged overweight man, then you're really doing a disservice to the others who might have the condition. So if the symptoms are there, if you're snoring, if you're stopping breathing at night and you're tired in the daytime, this is something worth getting checked at.
Okay. All right. And that's basically it. Now, the way you're kind of wearing it just now is how you wear it in bed.
Right?
So there's nothing to be plugged in. It's all going to be wireless. It'll kind of be transmitted wireless to the PCs next door. So if you need to get up for the toilet or anything, just get up out of bed and go to the toilet.
It's a lot simpler than I thought it was going to be. I had visions of 10 wires stuck to me and cabled up to something that I'd have to walk around with all the time. But this is quite simple. It's just a chest harness with a monitor on the chest. And what feeds into that is an air hose that's run up by my nose. Now I just have to
wait and see and go to sleep tonight and see how everything measures up, and whether the real telling thing will be to find out whether the oxygen level remains up in the blood while I'm asleep, and if it doesn't, it'll indicate that there's something wrong with the breathing as I sleep. That'll highlight it. Hopefully it'll show up something or other that we can put something to right.
At 11 o'clock, it's bedtime for Ray. It takes him over an hour to get to sleep. Now it's time to watch and wait.
Sleep warm, sleep tight. When you turn off the light, sleep warm, sleep well.
Your head. 1 a.m. and Ray starts snoring. But the question remains, is his sleep pattern normal? Close to you. 2 a.m. and the pattern begins to change. Within minutes, Ray stops breathing. Thirty-three seconds later, and Ray finally starts breathing again. This is a pattern that continues for the rest of the night. Nine a.m. and it's time to get up.
Morning, Ray.
Thomas.
All right.
Morning.
How did you go on?
I don't know.
Did you sleep?
I slept, yeah, and yeah. I woke up a few times during the night for a toilet break.
So was it kind of a normal night's sleep you had, or?
Yeah, it'd be a normal night's sleep for me, just the strangeness of the surroundings added in.
Well, that's great. That's pretty much it till this afternoon.
Okay, yeah.
Ray is free to go home for the morning and will return this afternoon for his results.
Okay, right, so first of all, the sleep study you had last night, Ben, it was actually positive for sleep apnea. And I'll just show you the result just now so you've got a clear kind of idea of what's going on. Okay, so what we're kind of looking at here is how many times on average have you stopped breathing when you're sleeping. So we're looking at in terms of how many times per hour it's happening. And from your result last night, it's telling us that you're stopping breathing on average 26.1 times per hour, all right, which is a significant amount, all right. What it's also telling us is that you were snoring around 31% over the night, which again is a significant amount.
What kind of distress does that cause on the system?
Several different things. Obviously, because you're not getting oxygen into your blood, your heart has to kind of pump more. It has to work harder.
Okay.
So that in itself can cause like raised blood pressure, which obviously really leads to kind of factors like such as an increased risk of stroke, heart disease, diabetes, loads of different conditions.
It's very serious. Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't aware of the level of distress that it actually caused.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It's major. major effect it has on the body. You know, because you imagine if this is happening throughout the night, your body's kind of struggling against this. And that's why during the day you're having all these symptoms.
Yeah, the thing about it is you don't know it at the time.
Exactly.
Because I was asleep last night. I woke up a few times, but I wasn't aware that I stopped breathing.
So,
26 times an hour,
is
it?
Yeah, on average, yeah. Because what's happening is when you're sleeping and you're having an apnea, what your body does to kind of combat that, to get you breathing again, is it actually wakes you up. Even for a kind of brief couple of seconds, it kind of wakes you up. So it wakes you out of a kind of a deep sleep into a kind of awake or a light stage of sleep. And this obviously happens throughout the night, so 26 times per hour on average. So it's stopping you getting into a deep sleep, which is really what your body needs to kind of recover. You know, when it's sleeping. And that's why you're getting a kind of sleepiness during the day.
Okay, so as well as the sleepiness during the day, this thing is trying to kill me at night as well.
Maybe not as blunt as that, but
No, when I was when I wasn't breathing during the night, what was the longest period I went without a breath?
It actually doesn't tell you on the report the kind of maximum duration that you stop breathing. It gives you an average.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
So on average, when you stop breathing, it lasted 34 seconds.
34 seconds average.
Yeah, all right. Which is obviously a lot.
Right.
So that gave you a total duration of 6,912 seconds. So whatever that is in minutes, it sounds like a lot anyway.
It's a lot of minutes, isn't
it is. And in total, you stop breathing 204 times. All right. And that's how we worked out your average index per hour.
Yeah.
All right.
And all that pressure that's putting on the
heart. So you can imagine if you're stopping breathing all that time, you know, it does have an accumulative effect. You know.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Wow, 6,900 seconds.
Yeah. You work out.
that's frightening.
That is, isn't it?
Yeah.
In Ray's case, out of his 8 hours sleep, he goes nearly 2 hours without breathing. How does he feel about the fact that what seemed like a minor sleep disturbance could potentially be lethal?
I feel very peculiar. One, I'm delighted that they found that there was something wrong, you know, from that. The other thing is that I'm unhappy that they found that there was something wrong, but at least we can actually deal with it now.
There is a straightforward treatment for Ray's condition, although it will take some getting used to. The continuous positive airway pressure, or CPAP machine, looks like a small clear plastic gas mask which fits over the mouth and nose and is joined by a tube to a small plug-in machine. Tonight, Ray will sleep at the clinic again to try out the mask that will help him breathe normally and get a good night's sleep.
This is the second night at the sleep test centre. So I have the continuous pump now. We just want to pump pressurised air in through my nose. The mask that I have to put on is quite light. It's a little bit cumbersome and it probably takes a little bit of getting used to. And I've been wearing it on and off for this evening just to get used to it. At first there was a lot of back pressure. It was almost like blowing your nose. That kind of back pressure that you feel against your ears was there. But I've worn it now for a couple of hours this evening and I must say that I can get used to it. I'm looking forward to a good night's sleep, although it may be somewhat disturbed. At least it'll be better than the previous night's sleep. I hope that it works out now for tonight. I'm going to try now and go to sleep. The pump is very quiet. Once it starts pumping, and it's not pumping at the moment, once I put on the mask it'll start pumping. And all I'll hear will be just a slight, I suppose I'll just feel the air moving as it goes into my nose and as I try to breathe out through it. So I'm going to put it on and see how it feels again. I just find it very difficult to talk when the mask is on my nose. The mask is on now. That just takes a minute or two to get used to. So here goes nothing. Good night. And hopefully I'll have a better night's sleep than last night.
Ray leaves the sleep unit at St. Joseph's, ready for a brand new start. Three months on, I'm back with Ray and his family to see how he's been getting on. So what does Patty make of it all?
I don't mind the noise of the machine, because it's not really that noisy. But he sometimes when he opens his mouth, it's like the air is just constantly flowing. So it makes me very uncomfortable, because I'm there and I'm feeling like I need to breathe, because it's all just flowing at one level. And he can still snore a little bit through the machine.
She didn't like the look of it at all at first, this big mask and a tube hanging out, and she thought I looked like somebody that was kind of going to have an expedition on the moon or something like that. And but she's given out to me when I have my mouth open and the air leaks out.
And sometimes he talks in his sleep, and it's like talking with bubbles in your mouth. That's very, very funny. But
the machine is so quiet that I don't even know that it's pumping. I don't feel any air pressure of the air coming in or anything, but it's happening. It's not an encumbrance, if you like. It's not causing me any difficulty. I think maybe I've got used to it. You know, maybe it's my permanent bed partner. I don't know.
I suppose he finds it's working, because he's getting more sleep. He's more alert. He's more awake, you know. So it is working, even though he's still snoring slightly with the machine.
Oh, it's a small, but it's a very worthwhile price to pay. That's most definite, because of the benefit that I'm getting from it. There's no way I'd swap it for the way I felt before. Absolutely not.
After years of dozing through life, Ray is at last back to normal. The solution was simple. A diagnosis, a mask, and a machine. Now he's awake to the world, and the change is there for everyone to see.
The difference in my dad is something else, like in the last 3 months.
Well, apart from the fact that he can now stay awake and we can drive everywhere, because we've just come back from a trip down to Killarney, and he drove the whole way back without stopping, which I before wouldn't, you know, since he was, I don't know, about probably... I can't even remember, 5-6 years ago, is it?
I've no idea. I
there's
can't
no way he would
started.
Have been able to drive that length of time, you know?
Oh, there's loads I can do now. And I didn't realise that it would be such an about turn.
Yeah, even people have noticed that. You know, they have said to him, God, you look really good. You look really great. And it's not only because he lost so much weight.
Well, I've lost, at this stage, 3.5 stone. It happened to coincide with the diagnosis. And it was something that I was doing independently of it anyway. And then the bonus then is to have it reinforced that, you know, if weight has been a factor in bringing it about, that if you can get back down to the weight you were before you had the apnea problem, before you had the breathing problem, that it's likely to go away.
That tiredness has gone from his eyes, you know, that from underneath his eyes.
I can undertake car journeys without any problem at all, whereas before I would be fighting sleep very, very soon after starting a journey. Sometimes it would be fine, but other times I'd have the difficulty. Now I have that certainty that I'm okay.
To me, I think he seems more relaxed and content in himself. The fact that he's not falling asleep during the day, he thinks he's not tired during the day. He's even talking about thinking of maybe doing a master's, because he'll be able to concentrate more because he's not tired. So I think he's more content in himself.
Concentration levels are up. I can concentrate for longer in at work. I can also read a book on the bus without falling asleep half a dozen times. And I can still go asleep at night. I can still be tired at the end of the day. That's not a problem. I don't have a problem with sleeping with the mask on or anything like that at all. Being able to stay awake at meetings, in conversation with people, that is something that I haven't been able to do for a long time. When I put my mind back to it, it's really a long time since I was able to do that.
When I come over to visit, I actually visit my mum and dad. Or when they come over, he doesn't fall asleep. So
no.
I actually get conversations with both of them instead of just one.
Yeah. It has made a big difference to him, yeah.
With Patty and Karina chatting at the kitchen table, Ray is in his usual spot on the couch. But this time, he's awake.
Mm. And I can see the difference. I don't know if you can.
Yeah.
You know, come over here and I don't fall asleep anymore.
Yeah.
We were over in Noreen and Jack's yesterday and I didn't fall asleep once.
No.
And
I can actually have a conversation with you.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Noreen was talking about it last night. Sky is their young one.
Yeah,
Sky is... 8 or something this year.
She's 9, 10. I don't know.
Sky used to think it was a great gas me going over.
Yeah, how come Ray's not doing what he normally does? Lie out on the couch and snore.
It's just what I did, you know. I just went in, sat down, nothing personal against him or anything like that. And I used to feel awful.
It's just Ray's gone again, you know.
So tired. Brilliant, now I know I have it because I can be treated for it and no bother with it anymore.
But now if you fall asleep in someone's house, they're going to think you're just bored.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the
no excuse now.